We had a major at the end of the year, and we had the No Majors Club, and we streamed through it, and we watched it, and fucking hell, it was long, and fucking hell, all of the early games were shit. We'll probably talk about that in a moment. If it's the first time that you're watching a review of when we do these major reviews, this is how we do it, right? Basically, we're going to look at how the tournament itself was ran and the community reaction to that. And then we're going to talk about the actual tournament itself and the games. And then we're going to rank it alongside all of the other majors in history to see whereabouts it was. But it's got to be said for Budapest. Remember, it was Starladder running this one. And so Starladder hadn't run an event in a while. And everyone was trying to figure out what was going on because, obviously, they'd been away for a while. They decided they were going to come back, going to run this major. So why even bother? And they'd cancelled some events. And things were looking like, you know, kind of fucked up. So it was kind of a weird one. And then, obviously, we had all of that thing that I reported on the Substack at the time, which was all these weird ties with Ralph Reichert, and it wasn't being disclosed, and he was a shareholder and all of this stuff, all of this weird nonsense around it. And people were like, oh, it's just a way for ESL to get a major because Valve won't give ESL a major, which doesn't really hold water because at that point it was like, well, first of all, why do that? How would that benefit ESL in any way? And then the other point was we all knew that Cologne was going to be a major anyway, which, of course, they announced. So all very strange. But anyway, there were a lot of reservations. There were rumors going around behind the scenes at the start of the major that Starladder didn't have any money. In fact, one of the rumors that were going around privately in the circles, you know, like people who work in the industry, was that they'd had to take a loan out because they didn't quite have the money to get it over the line in terms of the production value. And so obviously we were all kind of sat back at home wondering if it was going to be a shit show or not. And of course we didn't want to say anything up front because we know how Starladder can be very capricious around the co-streaming rights and all of that. So we were like, well, let's just see what happens. And so we got to the opening day of the major, and you'll be able to see for yourself. This was the opening desk segment for the major, and no, your ears do not deceive you. This is quite literally how it went out. Now, obviously, there were a lot of jokes being made. I'm just going to just talk over this segment because, no, they're not coming in. There were a lot of jokes being made on social media because, obviously, Maui and Pimp, not the most popular of characters because everyone's retarded in the Counter-Strike community. And basically, they were like, oh, this is their best work, the best death segment that they've done all year. But this is quite literally how the show opened. And so I'm just going to play the whole thing because 90 seconds. But this was it. This was the opening, and then swoop, we go in, and obviously you can see here, this is Sponge and Machine chilling, healing. So, this is it. This is how it went. And ultimately, the music was playing for pretty much all of it. All the opening segment, all the setting the stage, of the opening game of the major was all lost like tears in the rain. And you can see people were like, that's a little bit disappointing. And yeah, the audio has been weird on both streams. Well, we're going to get to that in a second, but you can see from the Reddit comments, you know, I thought it was going crazy. There's no casters on YouTube, and there's casters on Kick. Is this the deal or something? So you're going to see lots of comments as we review all of that, like talking about this. And just to make it clear, they had a deal where it was going to be streamed on Kick And obviously, that was a big deal. Not a lot of people like the Kick platform. I actually kind of have a bit more of a broad view on it, that whether it might very well be true that Kick is the Somalia of streaming platforms, but ultimately, given that the Twitch and YouTube monopoly was in place at the time that they were founded, that ultimately... It was necessary, because Twitch is dying. It's swirling down the toilet. We know that. We see that. It's reflected in the viewership and the money that people are earning. YouTube's not great for discovery, even though the tech's really good. And so Kick is that kind of happy medium. And if you want to say outrageous things and do outrageous things, evidently you won't get banned on Kick unless it's in the more extreme end. See that awful case in France. And so... ultimately, StarLadder did a deal with Kick. I'm not privy to all of the details, but it was necessary for them. And so people were coming up with the conspiracy theory that the reason the Twitch stream and the YouTube stream was fucked was to drive everyone across to Twitch, to Kick rather, because the more viewership Kick got, the better it was. Like, there was some incentive structure in place. Now, look, that's obviously an insane conspiracy theory. Nothing like that would ever go on in the world of streaming, in the world of esports. You'd be incredibly naive and crazy to ever think that would be a real thing that could happen. But lots of people were definitely onto that. And just to show you just how bad the audio was on day one, I've got a clip. I was on the Discord last night, so thanks to you on the Rich Cord for helping me crowdsource this, rather.
Yeah, LinVision just haven't come to play today.
That's real.
I suppose the alternate framing is that FaZe have pulled up their socks.
Yeah,
ready,
Alex,
for a major run.
You can't be winning both pistols in a best of one and getting five rounds.
No, you can't, Chad. In fact, that's
as
a
Jacob
good point.
Would say,
well made.
Simply unacceptable.
It's simply not good enough. Fun one for Frozen.
And you can see the D-sync.
No better feeling than being the solo lobby hold and all the USPs pushing lobby. You're just like, this will be me. Don't worry, boys. Lobby's clear. Don't worry, boys. Lobby's mine for the taking. Four kills, job done. And the Desert Eagle's been identified.
Come on, Frozen. Grab a ace, would ya?
Yeah, everyone else will let him have it. Twist is not so sure. Go get him.
So there you go. It had everything that could go wrong. It had audio desync, particularly with the AWP. It had echoing and distortion on the nades. It had sound crackle throughout. Sometimes there were delays. It would cut on the broadcast to a test signal randomly. There was also another example. Let me get this. Where they were just playing the wrong highlights. CS2 News clip this on Twitter. So yeah, it wasn't great. It was certainly just... I don't know, guys. It was just...
simply unacceptable.
It's simply not good enough.
By the way, the new Budapest merch is up on the merch store, along with a very special T-shirt. We've got a self-actualization T-shirt, so you too can become fucking self-actualized and start manifesting shit in your life. I think we also have self-actualized mugs as well. And, of course, No Majors Club sweatpants for the first time. And a Budapest-themed hoodie. And these were all problems that, you know, look, when you're a well-oiled machine and you're doing events regularly, these are the problems that you iron out. And what happens is, if they happen again, you remember, fuck, that's how it went wrong last time, and this is how we'll fix it this time. That's one of the things about doing regular live audio production. It's why the people that generally do the most shows have the fewest problems. Now, I did see someone in the chat, because my chat's hilarious. They were like, oh, yeah, It's the PGL audio guy, lol. PGL audio guy. Now, let's be clear. I'm going to shill for PGL because I'm on their circuit. And I'm not just on their circuit for CS. I'm on their circuit for Dota. And I've got my tax bill coming soon. So I love PGL. PGL are the best. Hey, guys. PGL audio guy here. So glad I made it to the Star Ladder Major. Once again, I'm very honoured to be part of the first deaf audio engineer in Major. I don't know, he's not really landed the joke here. Thanks, Star Ladder, for this amazing opportunity. Now, even though he mangled the sentence, mangled the joke, and the joke is one of the most overused and dogshit jokes for reasons I'll get to, upvoted, updated, 2,339 net upvotes. And this, of course, is just allowed. This isn't, you know, we're not going to remove this on the subreddit, right? I mean, you absolutely just delete this. It's garbage, right? It serves no purpose whatsoever. But yes, now let's be clear, when the PGL audio goes wrong, it's usually, as I've explained before, it's usually just us sitting on a microphone pack or one of the Madonna mics rubbing up against someone's beard when they turn their head. Occasionally, it is a genuine thing that they fix. Like one time, I think we had a soundboard just like popped a fuse or something, and then, yeah, the audio went fucking weird for a prolonged period of time. By prolonged, I mean 1 or 2 minutes. The entire audio output of Star Ladder was like what you heard for an entire day. Right? An entire day. It's not quite the same as what goes on with PGL. The other thing that happens as well is when we have a B stream and people are streaming from home and it's their own equipment, doesn't sound as good as studio equipment, does it? So people go, oh, the B stream audio is terrible, fuck PGL. It's like, okay, well, let's listen to the B stream for an ESL event. Oh, look, it's home equipment again. It sounds exactly the same. No threads, no memes, because you are all fucking idiots. There's no comparison between the audio problems of PGL to the audio problems of Star Ladder. This was actually the worst audio of any Counter-Strike broadcast I think I've actually heard, because it lasted the entire day. And as you heard for yourself, it had every single possible audio problem along with visual problems. And then it went into a fucking power cut, which apparently lasted the whole day as well, which made, I think, the record for the longest best of one was that FaZe Linvision game, I think it was. Anyway, there was also issues with the community were kind of like noticing it, and they were making threads about it all of the time because, you know, it was unavoidable. It was just there. It was all in your face, and people were like, what is happening? Why is this? What is happening, sirs and madams? What's wrong with the Star Ladder stream audio? I heard problems were there, but I haven't been watching matches, so I don't know for myself. Now, we have to understand, what's happened here is, I wasn't listening to the stream, but I heard there were audio problems. That's where we're at on the subreddit. Then we had this one as well. Audio desync on the Star Ladder Major. This was day two. Please put it on 0.25% and see how huge the desync is. I clipped a completely random moment in a pistol round. I'm really done with them. It's barely a pleasure because the audio is always ahead of the image. I feel like my brain will soon explode. I'm watching on YouTube like every sensible person should, but the delay is even bigger there than it is on Twitch. It's been 3 days of the Major. There you go. It's day three at this point, and it's still not fixed. I'm out of words. Star Ladder, if you see this, please fix it finally. And for the deaf people, please upvote this, even if you didn't somehow notice. Shaking my head, my head. Now, strong uptake for deaf humour. During this time, it was pretty bad, and it lasted, it did last for about 3 days. In the end, Star Ladder did decide, look, okay, well, we totally fucking fucked up with the audio and with the power cut, and it's definitely our bad, and we apologize. You know what I mean, so just so you, in case anyone thinks I'm being unfair, they themselves said the following: we know we fell short, it impacted your experience, we're working hard on fixing the stream, audio and stability issues. Sorry for letting you down, we're making things right and improving for the next days. Now, it did get to the third day, There's no getting away from that. But by the third day, they had fixed pretty much everything, and it was smooth sailing from that point onward, to give Starladder their credit. The difference between day one and day two was quite marked, then day two to day three, and then obviously for the rest of the competition, it was pretty much, there wasn't much to write home about in terms of errors. And I thought the community were kind of they were pretty forgiving on day one. Day two, obviously, it was starting to drag a little bit. By the end, no one was really complaining about that. As you'll see, they were complaining about a bunch of other things. A lot of it really fucking stupid. In fact, I'm probably going to go out on a limb and say, and this isn't recency bias, because obviously we talked about this for the Austin Major as well, this might be the most ridiculous series of stupid complaints. It might be the most complained about major. And there are some valid reasons for that, but a lot of it was just people being absolutely thick as pig shit that's been left out to dry in the sun. One of the things that I did notice was this. This was the Starladder Hub confusing the casters. You can hear here how the commentators get confused by the HUD. They can't make out the HUD. This is Imperial versus FlyQuest.
What's happening? No one has spent money. Wait, what's happening? Oh no, there's someone spawned.
Okay, no, HUD's out of HUD's out of whack. HUD's out of whack.
Okay.
Well, Blaze live. We've got full guns inside of the apartments. HUD's whack.
Okay,
that's fine. I was like, this is a strategy I've never seen.
But ultimately, look, there were lots of teething issues. But then we got into the other fucking problem, which was the sponsor shenanigans. Now, I don't know if you know what ended up happening, but there was a whole issue with Twitch and YouTube changing the sponsors that you could and couldn't have for on a live stream. Twitch had announced that anything that pertained to gambling was going to be ultimately forbidden from being shown on live streams. You just weren't going to be allowed to do it. And obviously one of the big sponsors that Starladder had announced was going to be Rollbit. And Rollbit was going to be the big confirmed sponsor of the major. And so Twitch had to come out after they said that a sponsor like Rollbit would be in violation and say, actually, no, Rollbit wasn't going to necessarily violate the website's guidelines. And you can see what they said here is, according to Twitch's gambling update, sites including Rollbit, Stake, Dualbits, and Rubet are prohibited. The policy restricts streamers from broadcasting content from these sites or promoting them through links, affiliate codes, or on-screen banners. Rollbit is also listed under Twitch's prohibited branded content categories. So they specifically had them listed as not being allowed. And then this caused concern. And you can see here, Counter-Strike Starladder Budapest Major, not kick exclusive, Rollbit main sponsor, Rollbit banned from Twitch and YouTube. If you co-stream on Twitch and YouTube, you are breaking rules. 3-minute delay from GoTV if you want to do it on Twitch. So, says here, Twitch confirmed to Deserto that the Rollbit sponsorship does not violate Twitch rules because its presence on the broadcast will be limited to physical branding. And Twitch said that the gambling rules apply specifically to direct promotion or linking, not to branding displayed on jerseys, stage signage, or other physical materials that appear during an event broadcast. Now, I just don't... I don't really understand how they were able to kind of work around this one, because saying that it doesn't violate Twitch rules because it's physical branding. Like, an advertisement is an advertisement. It doesn't matter whether it's me pulling slots and giving you a referral code or me sat here with a T-shirt with the fucking name of the website on emblazoned across the middle. I'm essentially advertising the site. And look, I just think this was like classic oversight on Twitch's part. And so what they wanted to do ultimately was kind of like have their cake and eat it, where because The big esports tournaments are very important to keep on Twitch right now. If they lose them, Twitch is essentially toast. Like, what would you ever go to Twitch for? All your favorite streamers are now like co-streaming on multiple platforms, multi-streaming, I should say, rather. And if they lose the fact that Twitch is the home for esports, if more and more start streaming on Kick and YouTube, and, you know, whatever. So they always walk it back. If I were to advertise Rollbit on my stream now, I'd get banned. It's as simple as that. And so for me, it's one of these super embarrassing, cringe things. You know, it was like when ESL had the N-word or, you know, HH fucking screamed on their stream 3 times in a single day. If that was me walking down the street and that happened, I'd get banned. And I'd be told the content of my stream is my responsibility. And I would be permanently banned. And I'd have no recourse. And that would be that. And no one had shed any tears. They'd go, Richard, it is your responsibility. Happens to ESL, where literally during a trophy lift, someone can scream the N-word into a microphone. And that's okay. Right, that's fine, apparently. In fact, so fine, we can all joke about it, even though it's never been addressed in an official statement or apologized for. You know, like, just fine. Just one of those things happened. We're so back. Trump's in the White House, I guess. So those things are okay now. Anyway, Twitch confirmed to the show that the Rollbit sponsorship doesn't violate it because its presence on the broadcast is physical branding. As long as the gambling rules apply specifically to direct promotion. How's it not a direct promotion? Or linking, not to branding displayed on jerseys, stage signage, or physical materials that appear during an event broadcast. However, verbally referring to the website on stream is prohibited. In a statement provided to DeSoto, Twitch said, while the StarLadder CS Major will be streamed on Twitch, the Rollbit event sponsorship does not violate our community guidelines or terms of service, as the event and sponsor have agreed to limit the sponsorship during the stream to physical branding only. By the way, wasn't true. So, don't even know how all of this was okay. As stated in our community guidelines, we specifically prohibit the sharing of links or affiliate codes of sites that contain slots, roulette, or dice games. While Rollbit is a prohibited site, that prohibition is specifically for streaming content directly from that site, linking to that site in chat, including a banner in stream that links to the site, or verbally referring to the website on stream. As such, the sole use of physical branding does not violate these terms. This clarification means the official stream will proceed as planned and authorized co-streamers will also be allowed to broadcast the event as long as they continue to follow Twitch's gambling policies. The safety and well-being of our community is Twitch's highest priority, which is why we carefully review gambling sponsorships to ensure adherence with our policies. Now, what's interesting is, if we follow their policy to the letter of the law, I'm in violation of the policy. I'm reading a news report about it, referring to the website by using the name of the website to read this news report in condemnation of the sponsorship, I'm in violation of the policy. We'll see if I get banned. It would be hilarious if I come back renewed and refreshed to do content and then get hit with my first ever Twitch ban. We'll see. Let's see if context matters in 2026. Because there was also some other issues. So even though it was Twitch said it was fine to show them on jerseys, StarLadder removed the Rollbit from the jerseys. So it begs the question, why do that? Why did you need to do that? If it's fine, it's fine. But we've seen this multiple times where if there's a dodgy sponsor on, you know, that violates someone's TOS or violates a country's laws or whatever it might be, they tape over it or they have an alternate jersey that they wear that doesn't feature that sponsor. So they removed it. And then you're removing it, but it's on the chair anyway. So just a total mess all over the place. There was also something weird happening with this. The clip itself has since been deleted, so I would need context. But apparently that because Flom was one of the official co-streamers that were allowed to co-stream on another platform, they didn't have to stream on Kick, right? So they started asking Flom to spam ads for their sponsors on their channel. So, and you can see here, someone up here that no doubt will be accused of being me on an alt, talks about how they created a bunch of bullshit rules when we were trying to stream, that they were going to DMCA me for copyright they don't own. I'd actually forgotten about that detail, that they told Flom they sold me the rights. And of course, I hadn't paid them a penny to co-stream because I don't need to, because I can stream GoTV and Starlet can't do fuck all about it. No company can. So anyway, there was all of this. And then on top of that, people were complaining about the ad reads and the ads. I've been watching the major, and a few times I've heard the caster say official betting partner, but it seems to be out of context, not relevant, and nothing on the screen that would indicate what they're talking about. Is this some meme I'm not aware of, or is Starladder requiring them to say something about a sponsor without actually putting anything on the screen? It happens so often, it's distracting, and I have no idea what they're referring to. And of course, obviously, this guy's just a retard that doesn't understand what an ad read is, right? And when you do an event, you have an official betting partner. They're the people that pop up on the screen, do the odds. You'll have seen lots of 1x bet or whatever. But the other aspect was the casters were saying, this is our official betting sponsor. And it was kind of happening a bit more often than normal. I haven't had time to talk to the guys about what the expectations were and how often it was being said. But obviously, yeah, you say it whether it's on screen or not. The fact still remains they are their official betting sponsor. Anyway, this got upvoted, 94% of upvotes. 94% of people also apparently don't understand what ad reads are. And he's like, yeah, I've been wondering this as well. I think the live odds are supposed to be shown when they say it. Just no, not at all. Why would that make a difference? Why would that make a difference as to whether or not they are the official betting sponsor? Twitch ban saying the betting sponsor or something. Wild theories. Remember, the sports betting stuff is fine. It's the casino stuff that isn't. So lots of people were coming up with their own theories around this. And then we get to the really fun bit. And that is that because there was one ad that they would play, it was getting caught by the automated copyright stuff. This was their live stream on YouTube when it happened, and this was happening all of the time. It was happening on Twitch, it was happening predominantly on YouTube, but I think it went down on Twitch once or twice. It didn't happen on Kick. See the aforementioned Somalia of streaming platforms label. And basically, this is kind of where where we were at. People were trying to figure out why it was happening. Starladder weren't saying why it was happening. They weren't telling anybody what was going on. They weren't putting a statement out. You were just in the dark. If you went over to like watch the stream, it was getting taken down. And you can see here, there was just tons and tons of threads about it. If you mentioned it on any of the streams, moderators would ban you. You can see here it is again. Also on day one, this video has been removed for violating YouTube's terms of service. It was happening on both the B stream and the A stream. So it was like people were trying to figure out why it was in compliance. You can see here, violating YouTube's terms of service. Down it went again. Somebody figured it out that there was an ad that they were running, and it had a copy of, it was like a parody of the SpongeBob SquarePants song. And as a result of the SpongeBob SquarePants song, it was getting caught by auto copyright. And then it was because YouTube had just moved to this AI copyright system, and ultimately it was getting shut down. And that's apparently what was doing it. Now, again, I haven't had that 100% confirmed before I've gone live with the stream, but everything does line up with it. Was it the X-Play? Yeah, X-Play GG. If you know it, you know it. I'm almost scared to sing it. But basically, it was that was getting it taken down. People were saying it was the Rollbit stuff that was getting it taken down. It wasn't. It was the fact that YouTube specifically had this copyright fucking thing in place, this AI shit. It heard, oh, that sounds like SpongeBob SquarePants. And even though parody is protected speech and not a violation of copyright, it was copyright striking them for however many days that it was happening. And Jai says, is it this one? Let me just see. It certainly is this one, Jai, my old chum. So let's play it and get copyright struck on the YouTube video.
Where are you playing the best of the matches? Where in retake will you pull out the clutch? Where you'll be testing your deadliest thing? Where are we perfect? basically training all day.
Now listen, pretty divisive ad apparently according to the chat. I like it. I think it rules. I think that's a good ad. I think that's a good parody. And apparently it was pretty much that. That was what was getting caught by the YouTube things. It was literally running that in the breaks, because they were playing ads in the breaks, and this is why it would happen mid-game sometime, and down it would go. I don't think it was anything to do with Rollbit or any of that stuff, but you know, make up your own mind, go look into it. We have to fill in the dots ourselves, fill in the gaps ourselves, because there was never a statement put out about it. It was just happening, and you all had to pretend it wasn't happening. And if you asked why it was happening, then, you know, fuck you. So, of course, the entitled Counter-Strike fan, because the stream was going down, and then that would mean they would have to get rid of the VOD and then get the ad out of the VOD and then re-upload the VOD. Thread, Star Ladder, deleting VODs constantly. Is anyone else getting seriously annoyed at the amount of videos being deleted for the highlights or VODs channel? I cannot watch live due to my job, and trying to catch up on the major after I get home has become increasingly harder with all the deleted videos. I have seen posts about the stream being taken down, but have barely seen anyone talk about the videos also having issues with deleting. And then you scroll down, right? You got who let Starladder run a major, blah, blah, blah. Then this guy links to the channels with the highlights and the VODs, and he says, this is where to find the VODs when they're there. And then he's like, oh, I have no problem with them uploading their own content. I've been watching through their videos on their own YouTube channels. The issue is they've deleted videos multiple times on both channels, making it hard to access the content if you've not watched it live, which, again, I cannot do due to my work schedule. Also, I've said fuck Starladder, but, quote, I don't know if it's a YouTube issue or Starladder directly. Good. Excellent. Excellent stuff. So, yeah, there was lots of that. Now we get to my favourite bit. The big talking point was, of course, the exit interviews. We're about to talk about the exit interviews. And the exit interviews were done in this strange way, where how they were doing the exit interviews basically was they were bringing the teams that had just got eliminated onto the stage. They would play this sad music in the background. And then while the sad music was in the background, Banks would go down the line, ask them a question, and be like, you know, how did it go? What would you do different? What's next? Any regrets? How does it feel to lose? And it was like these weird, like, humiliation rituals that were happening at the end. At the end of these fucking segments. And it did just throw up. I think this is Fluxo when they got eliminated. You can see here, this is from Anders' co-stream, but it's just Banks just laughing in the face of someone that's just been eliminated from the major. It's just so ridiculous that this is a thing. Laugh their heads in. But it really fucking rubbed people up the wrong way. And when we get to the meme review, we'll definitely get into all of the memes that this threw up. But ultimately, people did not vibe with the exit interviews at all. And look, I'ma just say this. Players don't do enough media work, and exit interviews are part of the fucking job. And if your fifis are hurt after losing a game, fuck you, maybe win next time, right? We're entitled, as a broadcast, to use you in any way we see fit. You don't like it? Don't attend our events that fucking shower you in riches, you miserable cunts. the media apparatus around a tournament is as important as the tournament itself, important as the media coverage. It's all interlinked. It's one big ecosystem. And players take, and barely give anything back. And they're still in the segment of the pyramid that makes the most fucking money. And that's why they haven't rebelled against their masters that make them fly to China for 50% less prize money when you would walk out of Blast because an analyst listened in on your comms. We've come a long way, right? All of which is to say, the exit interviews were really triggering people, and you can see here, look, we've got sad photos. Thoughts on the exit interviews looks terrible for the players. Now, I'll say this, you should do exit interviews, but these exit interviews were whack. They were wiggity-wiggity-whack with a capital wiggity. It was really stupid. They were overly long. They were done in a way it was like the players had died. You know, like, I mean, it was like a moment's silence for someone, you know, that had fucking, you know, died in a car accident and wasn't going to be able to compete at the fucking tournament. It was just fucking stupid. And obviously, players are emotional, but we like that and we're entitled to see that. If you cry, the camera's going in your face. It's as simple as that. You have to be tasteful and contextual. If they're crying because they've lost a game, that's fair game. If they're crying because they've lost a family member, maybe don't turn that into a meme broadcast, but whatever. So it's one of those things. But ultimately, the current crop of Counter-Strike fans, the same dickheads that are about to win the Gonzo Award for 2 years in a row as the most annoying fans in all of esports, that's coming tomorrow if I get it finished tonight. They are, of course, no, think of the players. The same dickheads that said Dinko lacked empathy for asking Magic's, you know, hey, you know, you lost that game, but there's still stuff to look forward to. What's up next? Think of the players. No, I'm fucking tired of thinking of the players. Everything we do on a broadcast is fucking structured around players' feelings. And in particular, fans' feelings about players' feelings. It doesn't work like that in any other sport, but here it is. I like this one. Top comment. They should be forced to stand in front of their fans as they boo and throw rotten fruit at them. Somebody saw my notebook for future ideas for PGL content. They're absolutely brutal. I'm sick and I love them. Okay, it's going well so far. Every sport competition does this. They're great. They're awesome. Just don't lose, bro. I love it. I'm a sick fuck. They've been... you can just see here. They've been shocking at this event. All right, okay. Right. Right. As an old Dota 2 TI started the trend. Not true, of course. Not true, but he's a Dota fan, so everything's attributable to Dota. The biggest difference was Machine did them and not Banks. They're great if conducted by someone who can actually hold an interview and really show raw emotions. These interviews ain't that. I hate them in physical and esports. Like just trying to clip farm a competitor being angry or saying something dumb so armchair analysts can crucify them. But all it ever leads to is just someone being sad and saying we got to execute better next time in a million different ways. Yeah, I don't get it at all. I don't like it. I'm looking forward for the ESL skit about this. Why would there be an ESL skit about something that happened at a Star Ladder event? Let's wait and see. The music behind them is stupid. Agreed. The ceremony of taking the team emblem off the wall is low-key cruel. It's cruel, guys. It's cruel to have to take your logo down. Oh, no. In symbolically taking the logo down. This is the cruelest thing. I've been paid $10,000 a month to be here, and I have to take a logo down. No. I think this is terrible. I really feel bad for players forced to go through this stupid shit. I like the idea, but Banks absolutely sucks at doing these, right? So, you see, this is what I mean. This is all it takes. Banks caught a lot of heat for this. Now, remember, he's just doing what he's told to do, and it's part of the show. And Banks is the interview guy. He does all the interviews, right? You've seen him. He writes the theme tune. He sings the theme tune. And, yeah, there were so many negative threads about Banks. We'll get to, there was more towards Donna as well. We'll read the rest of these comments, okay? Hate him. I would only wish him on my worst enemy. Cringe as fuck. Can we get the audience to yell shame, shame, shame? I think that would help. I think it's funny as fuck. Right? And people put all of the hatred on Banks. This thread got deleted I can't show you the archive, but what I can do is just show you the comments in the thread. Bank Star Ladder is a joke and contained within because the mods deleted it. Because obviously, you know, if you're one of the popular guys and someone makes a hate thread about you, the mods will delete it. If you're me, someone makes a hate thread about you, then that just has to stay there and you've just got to tank it. And you're thin-skinned if you notice it and say you don't like it. But anyway, here it is. These post-game interviews have felt like a humiliation ritual. On top of having the losing team have to remove their logo off the board and then sign their names on it, we also get people like Banks. He's not even a regular member of the fucking broadcast talent pool. People like Banks. Like Banks. Like, who the fuck is Banks? Like, yeah, well, you, like Banks. Yeah, the guy who's at every event ever. Yeah, like Banks. Yeah, exactly like Banks. The guy that literally does all of the interviews at every event. Yeah, that guy. That guy. Right? People like Banks asking these extremely weird and uncomfortable questions. I'm usually fine with loser interviews. Total fucking lie, because you're a Brazilian, so I know you're the most fucking ass-pained type of fan ever in existence. You're not okay with fucking loser interviews, because Brazil's been losing all of these times. You fucking hate them, right? I'm usually fine with loser interviews, but this tournament has done them so unprofessionally. I was excited to see Star Ladder host a major, but they suck so badly. Aside from the casters, which you literally can't go wrong with. You just can't go wrong with casters. Remember that, of course. Next time, we're having to delve through why every elite-level caster duo is bad, because people don't understand personal taste as a concept. Almost every aspect of this tournament has been a mess and extremely weird. It's been extremely weird. They made the loser interviews a goddamn Big Brother Survivor elimination. Didn't, of course, not how that operates. Why? It's actually so terrible. I hate dogging on smaller TOs. I mean, phrasing. Especially ones that haven't hosted many tournaments recently. However, the major really isn't the place for experimentation. The technical disaster that was stage one, the terrible choice for analysts, and the awful interviews make me think they won't be getting a major anytime soon. Yeah, they're done. Yeah, it looks like exposing them, the players, for dramatic reasons. What the hell is that? It's disgusting to see. I usually watch interviews, but this thing with the whole team signing on a board or something, what the fuck, cringe, sad, and disrespectful equally. I just mute it and see something else while it lasts. This guy, Sirocco, couldn't even bring himself to look at the screen. Oh no, they're doing loser interviews. They're doing loser interviews. They might be crying. That is, Banks is fucking terrible in every sense of the word, right? Put him in something that requires a sense of sympathy and tact, and he sucks. Like, I'm trying to be nice, but every single interview sucks. They suck no matter who does them. They suck. Banks is completely tactless. Can't they get a real person? It's ridiculous, isn't it? Banks has no empathy. He's not a human. Get a real human. Where's your empathy, dog? He's doing a tough job. No? No? Oh, okay, right. My bad. My bad. They should have hired Shox. Yeah, she's just downgraded to interviewer. She can't be a host anymore. Much better than this clown. Feels like I see her much less than when I started watching CS 3 years ago. Any particular reason? Yeah, she works it as a side gig, you fucking Doyle. Oh, it's a meeting of minds in this thread, right? Banks was responding to my bait 5 minutes before interviewing Team Liquid on a win, and 5 to 10 minutes after the interviews ended. This guy's supposed to be a professional, lol. I sent an abusive comment to someone online, and they acknowledged it. Are they dickheads or something? Cool. Look at this. Most CS talent is chronically online, says the guy crying about exit interviews in a Reddit thread. Thorin tweets like every 2 minutes. Thorin hasn't worked an event quite famously since 2021, but nearly some Masters, which we all loved. The worst part is they seem like decent people. They honestly need to take a break from the internet, not the guy referencing Thorin in reference to live events, which of course we said he hasn't been on the circuit regularly in now 5 years, and actually focus on their job. Banks was once a really good host, but he's fallen off so badly. Now he's doing content I don't like. Why did they get Banks to do this? He's a absolute knobhead with his questions. I swear to God, you can answer 95% of Banks' questions with a yes or no. can answer lots of questions with yes or no. There's, in fact, an entire branch of questions called closed questions dedicated to that very premise. People trying to defend the talentless talent in this thread while the players who are half their age are held under significantly more scrutiny. There's a reason you don't see people who work in esports breaking outside of the esports bubble, and it's because they don't have the chops. There is also clear pressure from Star Ladder to ask these incredibly stupid questions, as these questions are not exclusive to banks. Where's the pressure coming from at their event? Who's pressuring Star Ladder? Let me know. Fucking fill me in on that one. What's the mad conspiracy theory there? I will never understand idiots who defend the likes of Banks, Maui, Pimp, Yanko. Just all catching strays. No reason. They don't even do interviews. It's fine. We hate them. We hate all our talent in CS. Except, of course, when they win awards and then someone types, I can get some karma now. Man, we're so blessed. We've got so many good talent. Brain dead Banks. Brain dead. He's brain dead. He's doing what he's told. He's brain dead. He's doing the Hegs interview. Brain dead. He's brain dead now. He's just brain dead. Just crazy. People lost their ever-loving shit over this. Right? People lost their fucking minds over this. Now, it did raise some funny moments. Vince and Anders were co-streaming on Kick. And this was great. I love this.
Yeah, just make sure you zoom in and capture every pore and every tear dropping out of his eye, guys. Make sure you do that. It's definitely not weird at all.
Flexo as they take now the logo won't come off. The wall. They leave us and are heading home.
Yeah, have a good laugh about it. The guys have just got knocked out. Brilliant. And I think fucking hell, man.
Just to highlight the...
And this was Zach, my old friend Zach, saying never do these exit interviews again.
And lastly, any words for the fans out there? You can say it in Portuguese if you want as well.
With which camera?
Going for this guy here.
This guy here?
Yes, sir.
Guys, muito obrigado para quem torceu para a gente, para quem nos apoiou do começo ao fim. From start to beginning, everyone, every fan that supported us, send messages, positive messages. Thank you very much. Star Ladder, never do this again, okay? This sucks, but thank you.
Nice words. Thank you very much, Zach. I know it's a tough one.
Yeah, I know it's a tough one. So, yeah, fair play. Never do this again. It sucks. And look, I think, these were handled pretty badly. But exit interviews are just part of it. And look, if you have to come out and do it like this, this is the way the show wants to do it. This is the way that it has to happen. But anyway, everyone lost their ever-loving mind over the exit interviews, which is just one of those things. Right, now we move on to the next topic, which was, oh yes, the live event itself. Definitely some valid complaints here as well about the overall experience of going to the event. And this thread probably captures most of them. Well, no, sorry, not this one. It's the one after this. But this one, the reason I highlighted this is the way the question is framed is like, what is your Star Ladder Major amenities experience? Like, it's going to be a discussion. It's going to be a debate. The amenities are shit. There's barely any food. You have to wait 30 minutes. When the game is playing, by the way, ain't even worth taking when there is a break. Or talking, there you go. In line to be told, maybe sold, a €2 frozen pizza will be done in 50 minutes for over €10. This is just a guy who's never been to a live event before. Live events do be like this. Yes, the markup on the food is outrageous. That's how they make their money. That's why the venues put live events in their venues. That's the whole point. But this was a more kind of reasonable summary of everything that was going on. The disappointment of this Star Ladder Major on site. As someone who personally visited the Star Ladder Major, I want to say that it is time to stop giving majors to questionable organizations that have no experience in running large-scale tournaments for the past 7 years. Now, let's be clear. There were all the same complaints about Austin, right? Everything you're about to hear, they said it about Austin too. They said it about other events, so the live events. It's just as simple as that, because most of these people don't actually leave their house unless it's a large esports event. I have always supported the idea that Blast and ESL should have some form of competition, since they are currently monopolists in the market. However, I will never again attend a tournament organized by any operator other than them. So fuck everyone else. Fuck PGL, by the way, I suppose. What have they done? Nothing. right? It's great stuff because the difference in quality is night and day. Therefore, I want to highlight several points where Starladder fell short at this tournament. One, incredibly stupid technical mistakes throughout the entire tournament. Constant delays, broadcast issues, sound problems, frequent technical pauses. Yesterday, the Na'Vi versus FaZe match had to be watched for half the game without X-Ray. How is it even possible to notice that X-Ray is missing on two huge screens while everything is fine on the other two? Well, impressive action 2382, you fucking dickhead. The reason they didn't have the X-Ray on live in the venue is because people were cheating, and it's got nothing to do with somebody not noticing it and everything to do with the fact that what's the alternative? Let the fans cheat or throw the fans out or just turn X-Ray off? For me, I would now make it a rule, since his fans consistently show that they can't behave, I'd make it a rule that on a live event, you don't get X-Ray. You don't see it. X-Ray's for something for people at home, and if you go to a live stadium event, you don't get X-Ray anymore. It's as simple as that. That just solves all the problem. You've proven now, consistently, for approximately 10 years, you fucking morons will not respect the etiquette of the game. And people who go, yeah, but I mean, it's just part of it, man. Like, it's gonna. Right, you'd be thrown out of a tennis game. You'd be thrown out of a snooker game. You'd be thrown out of a darts game, for fuck's sake. And everyone's pissed up. Baked into the social setting is an etiquette that you refuse to participate in. All right, no X-Ray. There you go. Problem solved. The scheduling was extremely poor. Why would you start matches at 5 p.m. on weekends or weekdays? This can at least somehow be justified, but each match lasts on average 2.5 hours, and with long breaks that sometimes stretch to 1.5 hours, people are forced to return home late at night. An equally huge problem is that the organisers made absolutely no preparations for the fact that up to 20,000 people would be leaving a large arena at 1 a.m. I don't think there were 20,000 people in that crowd, do you? Public transport consisted of one bus every 15 minutes. Literally everyone like Tokyo's metro vibe. Budapest would just be more like Tokyo. And taxis were completely unavailable due to the volume of people. I simply do not believe that the authorities and the organisers could not have prepared a plan for these evenings. Most likely, Starladder just did not care. By the way, guys, I've been to Budapest many, many times. Almost everything is within walking distance. Like, it's, you know, it's long walking distance, maybe up to a 50, 60-minute walk, but, you know, when you've had a few beers and you've got the beer jacket on, who gives a fuck anyway? Like, it's Budapest. What do you want? A bus every 15 minutes, by the way, is blowing my mind. I can't even believe that. Organisation inside the arena was also poor. They seriously open the arena at 2 p.m. and offer no activities inside the venue at all. So now I have to babysit you. I open the stadium up at 2 p.m. to get you in for a 5 p.m. game. You want me to fucking put on a little crash with maybe some, you know, a soft play area of Chuck E. Cheese? No activities inside the venue at all. Seriously, aside from short blitz interviews, nothing happens inside the arena except endless lines for restrooms and food. There are only a few advertising stands with computers, and that is it. Some people spend around 11 hours there. ESL and Blast have always been known for running contests, autograph sessions, we'll get to that in a moment, various mini tournaments, games, and shops in addition to the matches themselves. Here, we were presented with a completely empty arena and a phone as our only entertainment. And that would still be tolerable, but people are not allowed to leave and re-enter the arena. Keep in mind, this is not a hockey match that lasts at most 2 hours. This is an average of 7 to 8 hours of continuous time inside the arena. If you want some fresh air, your only option is the smoking area where hundreds of people are smoking and there is barely any space to move. If you leave the arena, you cannot come back in. Again, this is something ESL has always handled properly, even at their non-major tournaments. Totally wrong, of course, because multiple live events have had this same complaint. Oh, we're not allowed out. We come to the event and we're not allowed out. And that's because of the rules that the fucking stadiums themselves, the venues themselves, are bound to. Can't just have people coming in and out of the venue they pay to get in. But of course, esports is esports and it's so fucking crazy. Yeah, you are there all day. You are there all day. If you want to watch all the games, you're going to be there all day. So what usually ends up happening, and what happened in this case, as I'll demonstrate, it changed. They say, look, you've got to let people out. You can't have them in a stadium for 12 hours. I know what you usually do for a football game, but can't do it here. There was a complete lack of merchandise shops. At first, I thought it was a joke. But how is it possible to have no merch shops at a CS Major? There was, of course, a merch shop, but it was for Star Ladder. Now, I don't know why the teams didn't arrange to sell merch at a Star Ladder event, but I can tell you, usually it's done in partnership with the TO. It's not like the TO says, can we sell your shirts, yeah, at a markup. Doesn't work like that. Anyway, how is it possible to have no merch shops? We will not count the few T-shirts covered with Star Ladder logos. Of course, how convenient. Why is there not even team merchandise available? One shop for the entire arena with boring in-house merch. However, I do not want to blame only Star Ladder here. I would split responsibility with, wait for it, Valve. Of course, it's got nothing to do with Valve. Valve do not have the rights to Vitality merch. If Vitality want to sell merch at a venue, Vitality and the tournament operator and the venue all have to come together and arrange that. But it's Valve's fault. Valve, of course. They are absolutely not interested in these tournaments, which is why we have not received any fun extras from the company itself for a long time. Not even things like the old collectible pins. Next, the absence of autograph sessions and any interaction with players was another disappointment. I always thought this was a mandatory and non-negotiable part of every tournament. Turns out I was wrong. Turns out they did do it. They did them. The arena design was boring. Straight up boring. The player walkouts were boring. The trophy was boring and tried to copy Blast style. The pauses were long and dull. I mean, I don't know what you want to have happen in a fucking pause, a timeout in a game. Like, well, bunch of fucking dwarfs bursting out of a fucking clown car. What do you want, you silly cunt? What do you fucking want? Fucking blowjob? Fucking, what's his name? Impressive Action 2382 is under stimulated. Deploy the hookers. Like, what the fuck are you doing? What do you want? It's a pause. It's a fucking pause. During these breaks, you either stare at your phone or stand in lines while the same video plays on the arena screens over and over again. In the end, I just want to say that a tournament of this level should not be entrusted to inexperienced organisations. They should gain experience at their own tournaments and through their own mistakes. A major is not a testing ground. It must be run perfectly. No major in the history of majors has ever been run perfectly, of course, because it's the most important tournament of this year. But what happened is what happened. Of course, I cannot complain about the quality of the games or the intrigue, but none of that depends on the organizer, and paying €200, not including travel to Hungary, a hotel, etc., for an event organized at this level, decide for yourself. By the way, €200 to attend a weekend of nonstop fucking games. Actually sick value for money. You would pay probably that to attend one game of the sport of your choice and still have to pay a hotel and still have to travel. Anyway, loads of upvotes for that one. 90% upvoted. This guy, you think he's going to say something sensible. Food, drinks and toilets are key to events. You can almost forgive everything else as long as you can get a beer easily and go for a piss. These things are not controlled by Star Ladder. So a lot of those grievances are just stupid and reflective of someone that hasn't gone to a lot of events. I will say the re-entry problems, definitely worth talking about. We'll get that one out of the way because he did talk about it. Is it normal nowadays that re-entry to a venue is not allowed? And it's like, yeah, that is pretty normal. I mean, that is just how that goes. What's abnormal is the sheer amount of time that you would spend inside a venue with an esports event. Because, yeah, you can be there for 12 hours, depending on how the games go. But you can see, happened at the Austin Major as well. But they went back on it after backlash. And re-entry was allowed up until a certain time. It was brought up again in another thread. And you can see, no re-entry. Star Ladder Major. According to Star Ladder, re-entry will not be permitted. If they learned nothing from the last majors, the last major where, of course, it happened exactly the same way. This is the same thing that happened at the Austin Major, yeah, and Blast eventually allowed it. It's the venues, guys. It's the venues' rules. There's probably a bunch of fucking health and safety shit they have to adhere to. Doesn't matter how many times it's explained, they never get it. Now, there was a massive amount of problems with the seats. This is where Starladder definitely fucked up. And I don't mind talking about this and saying, look, Starladder definitely dropped the ball on this one. It seemed that, and this linked to the thing I said right way back at the start of the stream, that ultimately Starladder definitely had some problems with the scale for profiteering, I guess, because they seemed to sell tickets and double book tickets and sell tickets for areas at premium prices that weren't given premium seating. And we can just start with this. This is a fucking absolute banger. This was the premium designated seating view. Pretty good, right? If you fucking like half a screen. And you can see, spent over an hour trying to find Starladder staff who was able to acknowledge the issue unsuccessfully. Fine to move seats today, but there will be an issue for Saturday, Sunday when the event is sold out. Perfect. Yeah, you would. You'd need a Danish neck if you were going to have to sit here. Then somebody said, I bought the most expensive seating available in the venue, and this is the view. And once again, it's like, yeah, it's not great. I will say, you have got the full screen, which is better than not being able to see the screen. I don't know what he was expecting, but fair enough. I guess because he can't see the stage, but whatever. We had this, which, by the way, this sounds like one of those messages from, like, in the Indian Facebook subreddit. It just says, remove cloth. Please remove cloth. My view in reserved prime seat, Starladder. Please remove the black cloth. There is glass underneath. Fair enough. Remove cloth. This one a bit unreasonable. Like, I don't know what you want them to do on this one, but you can see. move the jib. Like, guys, the people at home are important too. The payoff for being there and soaking up the atmosphere is occasionally a fucking jib cam might be in your direct eye line. Grow the fuck up. It slowly started dawning on everyone that there was going to be a seating crisis. It started to like percolate on the subreddit. Starladder Bleachers access control. I'm here at the venue and pretty much anyone is going anywhere since there are no ticket scans. My friend and I paid premium seats, not numbered, but since anyone can share their code or snapshot the section to sit together, the arena is full, whereas the other parts have empty seats. Not only that, but these groups also reserve seats with coats, etc., and that shouldn't exist since there are no seat reservations. Security and venue officials offered partial refunds but said they can't do nothing. Just constructive criticism since the Mage has been a great experience so far outside or the final day. So no ticket control. And then there was this, which set off basically the cascading chain of Reddit threads and reactions from Starladder, which was a dude went and said, I have to vent my complete and utter frustration with the organization of this major. This is absolutely unacceptable, especially for a top-tier event. I bought premium tickets with assigned seating. The whole point was to guarantee a specific high-quality view. Less than 24 hours before the event starts, I receive a notification informing me that my seat has been unilaterally relocated all the way up to the third floor. This is clearly an unassigned general admission area, first come, first served. The excuse, panels obstructing the view. If that's the case, why were these seats sold in the first place? The most outrageous part is the ticketing chaos. I purchased two tickets together for my girlfriend and me. Starladder's solution was to relocate only one of the two seats. Are you serious? Starladder expects us to attend and watch the major separately. This level of incompetence is astounding for a major organizer. We paid a premium to enjoy this experience together, and now one of us has been thrown into the general admission crowd. I've been to a Blast Major before, and the organization was flawless. Seamless entry, perfect seating, and zero last-minute issues. Honestly, I'm now seriously regretting coming to this event. The Starladder organization is looking like a complete and utter disaster. And we can all agree, of course, this is totally unacceptable. You can buy two tickets, go to an event with people, you design, sit with each other, they come over and they go, people have been complaining about the panels, so now we're moving you from the seats with the panels into this unassigned area where it's first come, first served. Don't worry, you'll have a better view. Spoiler though, your missus can't go. She's got to stay here. One of you must stay. They expect one of you in the wreckage. That's obviously not acceptable. And because that thread got to the front page and people started complaining about it, other people started bringing up their problems as well. And what quickly became apparent was there were a number of seats that had been like double booked. People were sitting in seats that were supposedly assigned to other people. And see here, this one didn't get to the front page. It died on the vine. But over on the Gaules stream, apparently there was people complaining that, like, I was sitting in a seat with my ticket, and then another fan came over, shut and said it was their seat according to their ticket, and then nothing was getting done about it. In the end, people have started to apply for refunds. You can see here, anyone know what the refund process, has anyone had a refund or any form of compensation yet? And then that came up as, well, maybe you're not going to get a full refund, even if you didn't get the seat that you bought. You might just be getting 10%. And this is it. StarLadder are offering 10% refunds for affected individuals who were in the reserved prime shenanigans. It says, hey, everyone affected by this, I want to let you know that after 3 weeks of constant back and forth, StarLadder is offering a measly 10% refund to those, which, by the way, would be €20 approximately, to those who were unable to find a seat despite having purchased the reserve ticket. Not to mention the issues with fire safety regulations, stairways being blocked, and the overcrowding across all sections. For us, this was a complete disaster. I also forgot to mention the blocked view seats where they applied plastic so individuals in the first rows, which arguably should be the best seats, weren't able to see anything until they started removing it themselves, which to me is again a representation of poor organisation. Please don't give up on your refund and chase it with your bank directly. High dispute rates are a huge red flag for payment processes, even if the disputes end up lost. And yes, a 10% refund is an insult. Some people in the chat saying, I got offered a 100% refund. You know what happened to me. Others, of course, sue them so this shit doesn't happen again. 10% might as well spit in their faces. 10% is like spit in your face. So look, all of that aside, it's pretty obvious, it's pretty clear that, you know, there was a lot of deficiencies with the arrangement of the event itself. And it's a little forgotten aspect of this, that the broadcast is one thing, the content is one thing, but interfacing with the venue and the people that run that venue is also another thing. And this can happen to anybody. I've worked a number of events myself down the years where not understanding contextually what a venue's rules are, it can cause all of these problems. I think back to when I did Gfinity 3, Thorin, Scoots, the Gfinity guys, they promised that they were going to like do this insane event, and it was down at, I want to say, the Copper Box in London, and ultimately they had a hard out. They had to go at like 10 o'clock, and all of the delays pushed it back past 10 o'clock. And I was like, well, why do you have to close the venue at 10 o'clock? And they're like, we have an arrangement with the security to close that. The security clocks off. No security. No one can be in the venue. And that's where I came in and negotiated with security to get like triple overtime if they agreed to stay around so we could close out the event. But not understanding things like this is what causes problems. And ultimately what's happened here is just a classic shit show. It's like, look, we don't have a scanning operation. We aren't checking the tickets. We aren't doing this. We aren't doing that. And ultimately, this is what you end up with. And so these people, for me, unlike the first thread I read to you, they definitely have a legitimate grievance. And I think, honestly, what would be appropriate, I'd certainly say 10% isn't appropriate, but, you know, if you didn't get the seat that you paid for, I would separate the difference at the very least. So the seat that you did get, I would separate the difference and then maybe even offer something else. I don't really know what's appropriate, but 10% certainly can't be it. And watch this space, because I guess we're going to see whether Starladder are issuing these refunds. It's also got to be said as well, if this had happened in America, and certainly the UK and maybe a number, and Germany and another of other countries, the fact that the health and safety aspects of it probably would have got the event shut down. Like, I mean, you can't just have more people in a venue than there's ticketed for. You can't have people sat in the middle of a row, because if a fire breaks out, you know what I mean? It's fucking GG. Like, so the fact that this happened in Budapest, it's almost kind of a good thing that the event was a clusterfuck, particularly in Hungary, because it would have just been like, if somebody had, if this was an American event, somebody would have just said like, right, okay, we've got to close this all down. This is like a fire hazard. Somebody dies. We're going to get sued. We'll be liable for all of the deaths. It's over. The event's over. Event cancelled. Many such cases, you know? So that's that. So, ultimately, Starladder kind of got lucky, because if this had been in a different country, then this could have gone very, very bad. I mean, like, we already had a power cut on day one that pretty much meant we just didn't finish day one for like the second time in major history. The only other time that's happened was at the Face It London Major. And then the other problem we've had at the end, it could have been that the playoffs got cancelled. By the way, a serious delay, like one day being the venue closed down overnight or closed early, would have just meant we might not have got to the final. And that would have been insane to think about. So these people have a legitimate grievance, and Starladder definitely dropped the ball on this one. But what we will now do, we will now indulge in looking at the threads where maybe they don't have as much of a point. There were so many complaints about this that it was just unbelievable. Like, I mean, I have never seen so much whining at a major before. And look, CS fans are rapidly becoming the most entitled fans in all of esports. They are really on the cusp of overtaking the Dota fans. But the sheer volume of complaints about just unreasonable things. Like, look at this. Starladder's YouTube chat needs better moderation. I'm watching the Bait versus an RV game. So many messages were either racist, abusive towards players, most likely from bettors, molding every time Bait won around. Who cares? Like, who gives a fuck? Who gives a solitary fuck? Like, just, are you there? What? Why have you even got the chat open? Like, just watch the fucking game, and then the moderators will get around to banning it. If you've got a bunch of people spamming chat with abusive stuff, you do understand that, like, you might only have one or two moderators on hand. And so, you know, they'll get around to it. Then we add this. Why does Starladder keeps showing a bunch of no-effort cringe lords blasting unfunny memes on their phones? If I were in charge of an esports spelt incorrectly tournament, my first move would be forcing the camera crew to never film another phone or tablet. Drawn signs only. So this guy, just with his own particular flavor of autism, has decided objectively you should never be allowed to hold up a tablet or a phone of any kind and be shown on a broadcast, which would pretty much mean that every single crowd reaction at an esports event would now be forbidden under the new fucking overlord of drawn signs only. And I certainly hope you don't use AI to draw your signs, because yes, we saw complaints about that. This one, just staggering. The music for the Starladder event was something a bit different, right? It was like sort of like 80s, 90s metal-ish, and they had a live drummer there who was actually pretty sick. He was really good for the event. But no, this guy realizes that, like, it turns out Starladder has overlooked the importance of music. They just overlooked it. By doing something different to everyone else, they overlook the importance of music. In my opinion, it tries so hard to be epic, but has no distinctive identity to the point that it's generic. I don't think I've ever heard a shorter loop from a CS2 tourney than that one song, where the looping point isn't even smooth. ESL had their own licensed playlist, which is a bit better already, especially during halftime breaks when you can listen to actual tracks. It doesn't feel as if it is that cohesive, though. It's basically put together from multiple pieces, which isn't bad, but just an observation, so up to taste. On the other hand, Blast TV has developed their own style. All of their music has a similar theme, just different energy levels based on what is happening. I find their music quite enjoyable, as it is quite far from the usual movie trailer type music, which I honestly despise. He's just fucking lost in the sauce, this cunt. I found their music to be the most suspenseful. I think it was a large reason I found the Austin Major to be as enjoyable as it was. Also, for some reason, Blast has the nicest sound effects. They seem to be working with a great producer. To be honest, I would love for Majors to have their own songs, just like League of Legends has their own soundtrack for Worlds, or how there's a theme for every FIFA World Cup. For some reason, though, things have not gone in that direction. Now, of course, obviously not around in the days where we had Metallica for Atlanta at E-League. And obviously, as well, we commissioned the Metallica song with Little Mama to the Flame and Skillet. I'm feeling, invincible, feeling, invincible. And yet all anyone ever talks about when it comes to E-League music is that fucking do-do-do-do-do-do-do song, which, if you were there and you remember it, everyone complained about that to begin with. Everybody was saying the E-League do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do fucking filler music was bad, and they only had one filler song. And then, because people started memeing it, retards started seeing the meme and thinking the meme was real, and then everyone started to pretend to like it. True story. Literally what happened. That's how dumb the CS community is. But you see, Star Ladder, by trying to do something a little bit different, they actually they don't even understand what music is, apparently. What is music? There was a strong uptake for hatred towards the music. And even though the drummer was epic, and by the way, a really good drummer, a really good professional drummer, this guy posted nostalgia for the Austin Major. We had Austin Major, man. Like, it was fucking 20 years ago. We had the Austin Major, man. Remember the Austin Major, man? Back in the fucking day, man. It's like just the previous major, but whatever. The orchestra opening the playoffs. Each team popping up from the elevator with casters doing the announcement, hyping up crowd engaging for Blast Major. Massive trophy with all teams engraved, including ones that weren't there. Even had massive statues of CS player model besides the stage. Felt as CS as it could. Now with Star Ladder, there's the game guy, pre-recorded audio, players walking in from backstage. The pale ass drums. Can you explain what that is? What the pale ass drums is? Pale. I don't know. Pale ass drums. Just deal with it. Trophy looks more like toddler milk bottle with handle on both sides. I miss you, Austin Major. This guy, one of the biggest retards on Reddit, and not just on the CS Reddit, but on Reddit. This is a guy that constantly talks about me. Right, this is how mentally ill this guy is, right? He will post, anytime I'm mentioned, that I beat up a 13-year-old kid at a CS event. I beat up a 13-year-old Dota player at a CS event. And people go, Loader was like 27, Loader's 28. He knows who Loader is. And every time he's corrected, he goes, oh, well, I didn't know how old he was. And then he'll post it again and again and again and again and again. And he will do it every single time without fail. Always corrected, always posts it. Mods haven't banned this guy because, again, he's doing it to me. So it's okay if he does it to me. He's not doing it to anybody else. It's not like he's posting about your favorite influencer or someone. So it's okay. Right. Blast feels like they retained all the people from that one TV-based CS Source League, that E-League or whatever did. I mean, this guy is just so fucking deranged. Counter-Strike Source, like, real big fan, yeah? Real big fan. Do you remember when, quite famously, E-League ran that Counter-Strike Source event live on TV? And then all of the E-League staff that did it went to Blast. Do you remember that? Remember when that happened? Just mental illness. Just, like, beyond a fucking joke. Like, how, like, I couldn't process being that ill. It's insane, but whatever. So there you go. We did, quite famously, me at E-League, in between beating up 13-year-olds, I ran a Counter-Strike Source event, then quit and went to Blast to run the events there. And that's why Blast events are good, because the E-League people, like myself, now all work at Blast to do Source events. People were really upset about the no merch. Again, this is something that has to be negotiated between the orgs and the TO and the venue. No team jerseys at the start of the major. I've been to 6 majors already. Well, you must be fucking sick of buying merch then, you fucking dickhead. Right? You must be sick of it. How much more merch do you want? How much money have you got, you cunt? Anyway, I've been to 6 majors already. And there was always team jerseys at the frickin' major. At Star Bladder Major, there is only FaZe and MIBR. Oh, guess what? So there was merch the whole time. Cheeky little liar from earlier. There was merch. Those were the two orgs that negotiated to have their merch there. Weird. And this is the first hour of the first day and they are not sold out or something. They just didn't make any partnerships with anyone. Yeah. Because screw you, CS fans. The orgs? Any the orgs to blame for that? Why don't the orgs want to sell merch to you? They only sell their own merch so they can have a 700% markup. Compared to teams where they need to share profit with the team. The pins are also super expensive. You cannot try the shirt because, oh my God, too large queue. Maybe that is your fault, Star Bladder, for only having one merch shop for 20,000 freaking minutes. Is this 20,000 number confirmed? Has anyone actually confirmed 20,000? 20,000 people in the arena. It didn't. Are we doing this? Are we saying there were 20,000 people in the arena? It didn't look like 20,000 people. Anyway, I asked for one shirt and got another and cannot even change it. I'm sure you could, but what you mean is you left without checking and you didn't want to re-queue to swap your shirt. But again, I hope you are all FaZe fans because otherwise you will not... You are. You actually are, though, aren't you? So... I hope you are all FaZe fans, because otherwise you will not buy a team jersey at the major. Valve, please never give Star Bladder another major. Also, Star Bladder, please go bankrupt. Thank you. PGL, people that certain Stockholm didn't have jerseys, and they charged €10 for a single PGL sticker. Why did they sell the stickers for €10? I don't even know if that's true. Are they stupid? Sell 10 of them for €1. And let the fans do the marketing. Yeah, the fans who are already at the event. Marketing for the event that is happening. Sick. Can tell you've got your fucking... You know a thing or two about running these live events. So we now know there were, of course, two orgs selling merch at the event. Right? Is there really no team merch available? I'm only seeing Star Ladder merch here. Wasn't any at Austin either. Whoa, interesting. Then... You heard him moaning about the trophy, right? The trophy's bad. Let's have a look at the trophy. Must be really bad. Why did TO stop doing real trophies? They haven't. They do real trophies. For those plastic pieces of garbage. Like, honestly, the Star Ladder trophy looked like utter garbage. Who decided that? When I remember the OG Cologne Katowice trophies, I really don't understand why they do these 3D printed toys nowadays. Let's have a look at the trophy. How bad can it be? It's not that bad. It's not top tier, is it? But it's not fucking... It's not worse than the one they had for fucking... Paris. Then we had the stuff with the player signings. And remember, you've been told by that other fucking dickhead who was just lying through his teeth about every single point that there were no signings. There were signings. Starladder don't care. Guys, there are a lot of us here on Reddit who bought reserve prime tickets for a meet and greet. People asking Starladder on Instagram under posts on Telegram, and no one's replying when it will be scheduled. It's Wednesday now and still not reply. What's your thoughts? It will happen. Anyway, the long and the short of this is the meet and greets. Well, you have to know who's in and out of the fucking tournament. And then a lot of the players and the orgs, fucking their arseholes about it, and they want to do it at certain times. It's not just as simple as going, right, it's fucking Friday, 2 p.m., you do Vitality. No one fucking knows. So you get to the event, it gets announced, that's it. Starladder said, right, prior to this post, as soon as we know, we'll tell you. And he acknowledges that. It's acknowledged in this thread. So what are you making the thread for? As soon as they know, they will tell you. But they haven't told me. Yeah, they don't know. As soon as they know, they will tell you. That's how it works. So, but no, obviously not real. There was this as well. Just great. Love it. A good When should we expect the meet and greet signature session for the Starladder Major to be announced? Playoff teams are set. It should happen no later than today, than tomorrow, right? Like, just fucking wait. This guy was the best. I love this thread. Got to the Furious signing session 10 minutes after it started. And for context, there were two lines on both sides. Closed off with people standing in a line outside of the closed section. They would let people into the closed section if everyone inside it got all the way through. A member of Starladder staff member told me it was a 30-minute wait from the end of our side of the closed section. That's all fine. But as soon as everyone in the closed section on our side got through, they didn't let anyone from outside into it. So obviously, they let way more people into the closed section on the other side. So our side waited 30-plus more minutes with them, not letting anyone in our side for the rest of the session. Absolutely terrible system. I want to hear the reasoning for this. By the way, they only announced one signing session for today, even though there was another earlier. Premium tickets, by the way. And then look at this. Well, if I recall correctly, there was a premium line and a regular line, and they let more people from the premium line at a time than the regular one. Well, staff told me the lines were the same. I'm premium, lol. So this dickhead stood there in the non-premium line going, grrr, when he had a premium ticket and was too anti-fucking social to point out, yo, I'm premium, yo. Just sat there like, stood there like a bell end, didn't get his signing. Grrr, Starladder's fault. Fucking hell. Instead of running to Reddit, why didn't you open your mouth when you're at the venue, you silly little prick? Then, this thing that would never happen at an ESL event. Never happen. Lol, Starladder. Look, it's Fury and Na'Vi. But look. Look at the logos wrong. It's Vitality Mongols. Let's make a thread about it. Oh, no. What's happening? Lol. Starladder, lol. The graphic is temporarily wrong at my live event. Let's make another one about it. Yep, that's correct. Starladder, come on. Get it together, Starladder. Like, this, by the way, out of everything that we've been talking about for this event, right? This is the least of it. This is the least of the problems. Like, who gives a fuck about any of this? This was also great. I love this. I do love lights in the eyes complaints. Because remember, it's a live event. There's going to be lights. And, like, again, you guys have been to live events, right? You've been there. You've been to the events. There's lights everywhere. You're at a concert. There's a light show. Occasionally, the lights are going to go in your eyes. And if you're like me and you have ocular problems, that can be really bad. Give you a migraine, right? I've got really bad keratoconus in my left hand. It's a kerikatona. No one remembers who she is. She fucking advertises prawn rings for Iceland, right? You do get lights in your eyes, and it's not pleasant, but it can't, you know, it's the price. It's one of those things that are going to happen, right? For the love of God, he's on some Patrick Stewart shit. For the love of God, Starladder, please stop with this light. Please. Another one, right? Lights in my eyes. More lights in my eyes. Please dim this light. It's too bright. Please dim it, guys. Just dim it. It's too bright. Like, just fuck the lighting, fuck the light show, fuck everything. Yeah, it is bright. It's the spotlight. Of course it's fucking... Then this is just like, fucking throw in the goddamn towel. Throw in the towel. Style had to turn the lights off. Turn them off. The lights above the Jumbotron, straight up blinding everyone in the upper seats. Please turn them off. Please. Please. Complaints about X-ray being turned off, which, remember, that's your fault. You know, if you're upset about X-ray being turned off, and by the way, yeah, I know it was on the little screens, not the big screen. Which one do you think more people can see? That's why, right? 2 days in a row, I'm squinting at the mini-map, trying to see where everyone... What the fucking what? Star Ladder sorted out, where's my X-ray? You'll also remember, right, and I'll bring this up here. It was a best of five final, wasn't it? It was a best of five final. And let's talk about that. That's good. It was a historic first for Counter-Strike. We've had these majors. We've never had a best of five final at a major before. Great stuff. It worked. You know, it delivered, right? Unfortunately, it brought in a wave of utter dickheads that don't understand how these things work. First was this. I don't know if that's what is planned, but they really should get each map a different caster pair. So for each map, in the best of five, this guy wanted a new duo. Okay? I think no matter who wins, today we are in for CS history, and it would be a shame if all but one of the caster pairs missed out on this. CS has the best casters in esports, so please, Star Ladder, give every duo a map each, I beg you. The craft of commentary, right? Like, the craft of commentary. Large part of it's building a story. You tell a story to the audience. And in telling that story, you have to remember details of the story, like any narrator. You know, you have to know where it's going, what's happening, what you've said, the setup and the payoff. If you swap commentators in the middle of a series, it becomes what they call like an exquisite corpse, which is, you know, I wrote a chapter. Yeah, you look at the last sentence of it, you write the next chapter, and on it goes, and the story you'll get will be fucking nonsensical. So, idiot, great suggestion. Then there was people who didn't know what a... In a best of five, if you get the three maps out the way, before you come back for map four, you have an extended break. And that's for the players. Like, it's not for the broadcast. It's worse for the broadcast. Fuck Star Ladder for these 30-minute breaks between maps. This guy deleted his post in shame when everyone started pointing out, listen, it's a longer break is the standard after a third map in a best of five finals. The other breaks were not 30 minutes. This is normal for best of five games. Deleted it because he got shit on. But he wasn't the only one, so we had another one. Same as the above. Have the breaks always been over 30 minutes? It feels like they loose the flow of the whole show. Has that been the case for earlier majors? No, it's just the case for the best of fives. There weren't a lot of complaints about the desk, incredibly. It was just this. Is it me? This is someone who doesn't understand narrative. Is it me? Or does the analyst desk focus 90% of the chat on which player is the biggest superhero? Is Ziwu the GOAT? Is Donk the GOAT? Will Ziwu get the MVP? Will Mezzi get the MVP? What about Ziwu, though? The level of analysis reminds me of kids, this is called projection, by the way, of kids discussing whose father is the strongest, or which kid in the class is the toughest, or anime fans discussing whether Goku or Vegeta is more amazing. I wish the breaks were shorter. The casters are, of course, awesome. I'm missing high-level analysis of the games. The greatest lie ever told by Counter-Strike fans. So, all of which is to say, it wasn't a great event. It wasn't particularly well-run for the first 3 days. And even though they course-corrected and it trundled along quite smoothly, then when it got to the in-stadium portion of it, there was a lot of problems as well. Not as many as the fan base were talking about, but obviously there's a bunch of fucking people that definitely are entitled to refunds of some sort. And Star Ladder themselves, of course, I'll show you at the end of this segment, they're sort of still thinking they did a good job because they're living in a very different time in esports. But this, for me, was perfect. It was the ultimate final fuck you to everything that happened out there. And I want to be clear. Back when they were having tech problems, they were cutting death segments. They were just cutting death segments. Like, sorry, guys, I know you've been waiting around all day to do a death segment. Sorry, fuck you. We're not doing that now. People were being told to hurry up, condense things down. Certain segments got cut, etc., etc., etc. Then, right at the end, we've had pretty good events. A pretty good event in terms of the games. We'll get to that. Really good storyline. Now, you know, Scrawny, Connor, he's the master of the trophies, doing the trophy lift, building the story, talking about it, getting the hype. One last moment before we go to the desk and close out the show. It's one of Connor's great skills. And this is what I mean when I talk about how Connor is probably the most all-round talented person we've had in Counter-Strike overall. It's not because maybe there aren't people that are better at certain elements of what he does. It's just that everything he does is at least an 8 out of 10. And that's insane. Yeah, you know, like, and obviously the hype stuff is fucking 10 out of 10. He works really hard at his craft, his wordplay, etc. And his closing moments are just incredible and iconic. And you see them all the time in the trailers for other events and stuff. So let the man cook, is what I'm going to say. But StarLadder didn't let him cook. They cooked him with a C-U-C-K-E-D. This is what happened for the trophy.
Greatest season of Counter-Strike we've ever seen. It is Vitality back. Champions!
Budapest Major Champions! Vitality!
So, we'll play it again. We'll play it again. I don't know how somebody in production is like we, yeah, do we press the automated button? No, Ixnay on the Utnay Bay. You know what I mean? You just don't need to do this. Like, Connor is building. He's building. We're getting ready for the trophy list.
The season of Counter-Strike we've ever seen. It is Vitality back on top. Your StarLadder Budapest Major Champions.
Budapest Major Champions. Vitality.
Just completely wrecked. Just completely wrecked. And it's like, dude, he was going to give you such a good fucking send-off, and he's just been completely fucking owned. But it's fine. It's actually fitting overall for the tournament production levels itself. And I'm sure Connor, when I see him next on the road in 2026, we'll all have a good laugh about this one. And I can't wait to hear from all the people who were there, all of the cool stories behind the scenes, because I only heard one or two during the event, because I was preoccupied with the No Majors Club. Anyway, that is covered. The production segment of everything that's gone on, all of which is to say, the production was poor, it pivoted to being okay, it got to a point where it was cruising along at probably average. I mean, if we take all of esports, average is fair, and then we had a bunch of problems live with the event, and then it was kind of just pretty shit, and then it ended on the ultimate bum note, which is you fucked the trophy lift. Now, don't get me wrong, someone didn't scream the fucking N-word ESL, did they? So, you know, they didn't have to erase it. So it's not quite as bad as it could have been. But anyway, from the production side, as we'll get to at the end when we rank this major, it wasn't very good. I mean, it was what I expected it to be. Corners were cut, budget was low, it was reflected in the product that we got. And ultimately, more than the money, it was the lack of immediate expertise that shined through. I have no doubt that a lot of the people that worked for that event have been in esports for a long time, but they had, you could tell at the start, it really showed they hadn't done a production in a long, long time. And how long it took them to pivot. You see, what happens at most tournaments is, if, you know, again, we'll use PGL sound guy, it's usually fixed in like a couple of minutes. It's not 3 days. You know what I mean? But that's where we were at. And so ultimately, StarLadder, I think, with all of the weirdness around the sponsors and all of the weirdness around the kick stuff and all of the weirdness around the co-streaming and it was just a bit like, yeah, let's not do this again, eh? I mean, that's how I feel. I feel like just on the production side of things, let's not. And we'll see where it ends up. I already said in my year in review, they've had to cancel some events. I don't know where they're going to end up. So we'll just see. We'll let it play out. Now, all of which is to say, let's talk about the games. First, I have to say it. I might have been a fan initially of extending the major to more teams because of what it did for the ecosystem. Now, in reality, this major was way, way too long. I mean, way too long. This major felt attritional. It felt like a slog. I was even at the point where I was like, am I even going to stream it for the first week? These games are dog shit. I don't want the RMRs to come back, but the extra week, it is a reflection of who should be there. I don't have any problems with that. But ultimately, it was just like, it was so hard to get through. And the games didn't really get good until, I mean, the stage before the playoffs. But fortunately for StarLadder, with all of the technical problems that were happening around them, that once they got to the later stages, they did get the good games. We still have to get rid of best of ones, but fortunately for them, they got some really cool storylines coming out of the event that ultimately carried the event, I would say, overall, and probably saved StarLadder from being a little bit further down in the tier list rankings we're going to do at the end. The things that like stood out for me were the phase run is probably the most standout, you know, moment. They went all the way to the finals, as you can see here. It was incredible that they got to the final, considering they were like 0.04 of a second of being eliminated. They managed to run it back. Brokey stepped his game up, but please kick him. Please kick him. Frozen did everything he could. The problem was it just came down to map pull. You're going up against Vitality, and this overpass was a nightmare. I actually saw Elmer Puddy. He did a really good video explaining the difference between FaZe with Rain on Overpass and FaZe with Jacob on Overpass, and how Vitality were able to probably use Skybox to exploit a timing on Monster. Now, by the way, great video. You should totally watch it. But I actually don't even think it's that, because they looked utterly dog shit on Overpass against everyone they played. And they were picking it at one point. And the problem FaZe have right now, it comes back to, what is their map? We maybe feel okay about Nuke, but then after, and maybe they're, you know, maybe Inferno. But like after that, they really aren't at the races. And, you know, look, this is incredible. Like to be in another major final with all of the problems they had with this particular squad, with Brokey, who hasn't been playing well, and Jacob, who's like a noob, a relative noob. It's crazy. You can probably say now Carrigan is the GOAT IGL. If he'd won it, it's nailed on. I don't think he needed to win it. You know, he keeps getting to major finals and losing them, but ultimately, like, this... I've talked about this today on Prem Review. Mourinho quite famously said that all of the achievements he'd had in his career, you know, winning a Champions League, winning a title with Chelsea, it was actually finishing second in the league with the Manchester United squad he had. He said that was his greatest achievement. And people thought that was a backhanded insult to the squad he had to deal with and to the club. But ultimately, relative to the pieces on the board, getting to a major final with that lineup is mental, actually. And that, for me, is the analogue. I think this is Carrigan's, this is arguably his greatest achievement. This might be a greater achievement than actually winning in Antwerp. And look, it was a great story. It was great for the broadcast. It was great for the viewership, watching FaZe kind of power their way through. And they really did. I mean, the Na'Vi game was fucking great. The other storyline that was kind of disappointing, and it generated a bunch of like just crazy reactions from people, like when Na'Vi beat Furia. Let's be clear, a lot of people had Furia as the favourite to win the event simply because they were the hot team. And sometimes you just peak at the right time for a major. You know, very often the team of the year isn't the team that wins the major. Historically, that has been true more often than it hasn't been, right? And so Furia were peaking at the right time. And by the way, you want to talk about achievements. Let me tell you, for me, Fallen's biggest achievement, it's not scouting Molodoy, giving him the AWP, standing down, becoming a semi-competent rifler. It's not winning tournaments at 35 years old as a veteran IGL. What he did to rekindle Yekindar, which, by the way, sounds like it could be a really cool, like, Eminem lyric, if somebody can get that going on, who's better with wordplay than me. But, yeah, rekindling Yekindar has been the real secret sauce. And, look, he had a tough time in the game where they got eliminated, but Na'Vi just bodied them. They just put on a masterclass, and that was that. And that happens sometimes at a major. You just get owned in one series, and that's it. It's GG. But Furia winning tournaments in the second half of 2025, nobody predicted that. Nobody said the team that's going to fill the gap that Vitality have left, it's going to be Furia. Everyone was saying it was going to be Spirit. Ultimately, for me, Yekindar and Molodoy working with K'Serato, Yuri, and Fallen is some international lineup. I think that's incredible. For me, the only other team that would have been in contention for Team of the Year, spoiler, obviously Vitality just win that all day long, but the only other team that would have been in contention would have been Furia had they won this major, and they could have done. The weird glee and gloating that came out when Na'Vi eliminated them. Na'Vi themselves having had an unbelievably tough run of things. Just weird. It was just surreal. And like, I like Sad, you know me and Sad, we are friends. But like, some of his tweets are just like kind of inexplicable to me. And I guess like people have probably said that about me in the past. Now I guess I kind of get it. In fact, Ian Thorin has said to me before now, he goes, I get what you guys go through when I tweet now. He goes, because I do a podcast with Kassad. He tweets stuff and I'm like, please, please. Or like, you know, when he's like live on a broadcast, like Kassad's making a point and he's going, please land this. Don't say something controversial. It's like, yeah, bro, I went through that for fucking 10 years, man. So this was what he tweeted, right? Immediately after Furia lost, Blade just single-handedly proved Furia is a mediocre team, which they're not. They're not mediocre, right? Like, I mean, they've won events. They've been, they were arguably the best team in the second half of the year. So, definitely not mediocre. Then it was kind of weird because that's like not even his opinion. So, he's tweeted that at the major in December. But in November, he said, Furia showed us you don't need millions to win, just a big brain and big balls. Furia didn't lose a map in the playoffs. They beat Mongols, Falcons, Vitality in a best of five. Respect for Furia and Fallen CS. So in a month, it's gone from respect them, right? Respect them to they're mediocre. And Blades owned them. And it's like, no, they just lost the best of three. They did get owned. Yeah, Blades. And credit to Alexi as well. Called a great game. Ran rings around him. Pressure clearly got to Molodoy again. I said on the No Majors Club, I didn't think the pressure would have got to Molodoy, but it did. He's had it a couple of times. Anyway, Gabriel should know better. No good comes of this, but he's a passionate guy. He lashes out. He said, what, like the mediocre, like the teams you tried to build and fail miserably? So easy to talk online. Ham. It's just, online ham is great. To be fair, and I don't even know if that's a mistranslation, but it's just online ham is brilliant. For me, I'd have just been like, whatever, you know, like you just laugh that off. And then it got into this. Looks like I got to the professor. Maybe you spend more time preparing for the game and less time acting for the crowd on stage. You would have a chance against Na'Vi today. Safe travels, son. Back to your shit country. Like, come on, guys. Like, why are we still doing this in 2025, boys? Like, we don't need the engagement. We just don't need to do this. Like, we really, really don't. So anyway, I thought Furia had a great year, and I think they feel disappointed that they went out, you know, at this stage of a major. You know, it's one of those, but it shit happens, man. Like, you know, like, what's really interesting is Mouse just totally get to skate every time, I guess. People are saying, like, oh, Fury failed and blah, blah, blah. It's like, when are Mouse ever actually going to not do this? When are we going to admit, like, okay, the Brolin IGL thing is fucking cap? You know, but no, they lose again. They get dominated by FaZe in 2025, the year of our Lord. Nobody cares. They should have won trophies. I said it before, like, Mouse and Falcons are the two teams that should be winning trophies right now that don't. And obviously, of course, as well, like, while we're talking about storylines, we got an absolute bangalanger because we had Falcons get absolutely fucking wrecked again. And it was a great day for me, miss, because I hate both these teams. I want to make it abundantly clear. I hate both of these teams. But Zwei having a life game to eliminate Falcons and then getting kicked from Spirit is the funniest thing. I can't wait to do the Rostermania stream. I'm, like, jacked up for that. But it's just the funniest thing. Like, by the way, people don't realize how good Zwei was in this. And watching it with Yanko as we did at the No Majors Club, I'm almost tempted to take that and just put that up as a VOD, maybe on the Clips channel. Because it's just so fucking funny. But look at that from Zwei. 1.59. Greater than Donk against Falcons. Just deal with that. Just and kicked. It's just too good. It is so fucking funny that this happened. I love it. The worry for me was that Spirit would then go through and actually win the major, which I was very worried about. But fortunately, they played against Vitality, and everyone was going, Richard, why have you picked Spirit to beat Vitality? I was just like, I don't know. It was looking rocky on that Mirage, and then, you know, they did it. And Donk got tilted, and the rest is history. And Chopper can't call. He's gone. He's gone now. Magix is back. Fuck me. Fuck my life. Going to be talking about that in the Rostermania stream when Rostermania is over and the season starts again. So he's gone. Thank you. But in the end, we got the final that we deserved, Vitality FaZe, and the result that probably over the course of the tournament was deserved as well. I think Vitality were the best team at the event, and I thought the playoffs were really, really good. In fact, to be clear, it was probably the first time I think we got, like, the top-ranked teams into the playoff bracket. It's probably the strongest playoff bracket ever in the history of the majors. And with all of the problems that Star Ladder had prior to that, with the production issues and the fucking live event issues, it was so good that we got the playoffs that people wanted, you know? And ultimately, it worked out. I was a little bit leery. I wanted G2 over Falcons. But getting 7 out of the top 8 in the world into an 8 playoff bracket, I loved. Also, a new thing for 2026 moving forward, just to let you all know, I hate Mongols. New thing, new development. I hate them because of the fans. The threads I'm seeing on Reddit all the time. All of this Senzu stuff. I'm just making that part of my personality now. I hate Mongols. It's not their fault, but I hate them, want them to fail. Sick of them. They've been cruising all year long. Now they've got someone with the shittest name in Counter-Strike, Cobra Zera. I'm over it. I'm done with them. I'm done with them. They're doing all these interviews, aren't they? They're always out there doing these interviews. Like, oh, look at us. Yeah, we're huge celebrities where we live. You want any trophies? Well, we got that one. Oh, okay, cool. Cool. Well, you see, I'm from a time when to be like a celebrity, you had to be like, you know, the best at something. But yeah. Whatever. And the fucking way the fans talk about them. And this Senzu story, which makes no sense. And all the Mongols fans are on Reddit going, yeah, but he had burnout. Oh, I think he just wanted to play internationally. Why did he get to cruise on that skin scam stuff? By the way, the fraud scheme, remember? Why? Why? So, no, you've done this. You've done this. You've done this, Mongols fans. I will be there. every time they fail. So just putting it out there, and I hope Cobra Zero is dog shit. But anyway, back to this. The playoff bracket in particular elevated what really was going to be in contention for one of the worst majors. And it still is. You're going to see that when we do the tier list. It really elevated it to a higher plane of existence. And the playoffs were great. The games were great. There was barely any tech issues. Once we got to the playoff stage, everything went pretty smoothly. And so for me, I was very happy by the end of it. But we definitely need to talk about a few things. I think points moving forward, best of ones, 100% have to go. Best of five final work, proof of concept, we did it. Then All-Star Ladder, never have a major again. Exit interviews need refinement. And yeah, that was it. Let's get to the official ranking. This is the tier list for all of the majors. And so, as I've said, look, Richard, you've literally done this tier list before. Yeah, I know I have. But now we've got another major. So, you know, it's nice to revise things. Let's see where Budapest fits in. Now, people know that I'm super biased towards the majors that I worked. And this is Atlanta. I think last time I did this, I had to pretend Atlanta was A tier because I didn't want to like just put all of my majors up in the S tier. I don't really give a fuck now. I thought E-League, I thought both of their majors were fucking S tier, and I will never forgive the community for how bad they banged on about fucking Atlanta at the Fox Theater. People will never remember, but like on Reddit, they were saying, oh, the crowd audio sucks. Oh, there's no atmosphere. Oh, the venue's bad. It's like, we did a wicked fucking show in the Fox Theater, guys. And we got a great event. And we got great playoffs. And we got one of the best finals. Usually, finals at majors aren't good. The final was fucking sick. So, it's an S-tier major. Sorry, guys. E-League production is still the high watermark of Counter-Strike. It hasn't been beaten. And, you know, we're nearly 10 years past. So, fuck all y'all if you think, but, like, the Fox State is, like, old and, like, there was dust on a chair. Right, yeah, it's good. Boston goes without saying. The fucking Miracle of Massachusetts. Just one of the great fucking esports sporting events of all time in any esports. So that's there. What's the other ones I put in S tier? It's always controversial. This is where Envious won, of course. I was there for that event. One of the worst events I've ever worked in screaming gulag conditions. But for me, one of the best majors. I thought the storylines were fucking sick. The CS was fucking sick. Remember, this is the one that introduced us to Jacob when he was a rookie. It was Makalela clutching for that fucking G2 team that went on to become the bedrock of FaZe. Playoffs were insane. Venue was really good. I give mad respect to the crowd. For the crowd to be that elevated and that pumped when it was a national weekend of mourning in Romania due to the deaths that happened in that nightclub, I thought, you know, you've got to really say, you know, it could have just been an empty venue or people could have been like, yeah, fuck Counter-Strike, you know. But like, it didn't happen like that. Cluj is always S tier for me. Most people put it A or B, not me. And then the other one, of course, the other S tier. It's definitely Columbus. That was like the most fucking shocked I think I've been by like a major. Like watching the Brazilians kind of go all the way on that one is one of the all-time like crazy things I've seen. The Team Liquid game, the Na'Vi final, the Guardian storyline. The fucking EG motherfuckers that became GG motherfuckers. Moses wearing a fucking cowboy hat I picked up in a fucking truck stop in Vegas when I was wrecked out of my mind. So many cool stories around Columbus. Of course, so many not cool stories about Columbus because certain members of the talent pool went psycho. But really, really just good. I mean, like, the production was great. Barely any problems. Ridiculous show match. That was the one where Thorin declared all the world as being more T-sided. And Red Eye kept saying, bloody hell, you're going to get me cancelled here. Well, yeah, turned out it wasn't Duncan who got you cancelled in the end. It was, of course, your old chum, Banks. So, they're the S-tier ones for me. Everyone's all like, what about Cologne? What about Cologne? It's Cologne is the one that usually makes it into S-tier. No, I didn't work it. I didn't work it, but all of these can go into S tier, A tier, sorry. These were all pretty good, I did work 2014. That's B. 2015 is the one everyone puts in S tier, but not me, because I didn't work that one. I did work 2014, though. You are right. Yeah, Cologne 2015 was when I was doing the Nip Magic documentary. And then 2014, you don't know the half of it. You're like, you were on the desk with Cadian. I don't think I worked a desk segment with Cadian. I was on the desk with Top Gun at one point. I did a desk segment with Top Gun, the Aussie boy. Great guy. That was pretty crazy. I might even knock this down a little bit in a moment. Let's get this out the way. For me, still the worst ever is the Face It London Major. I don't think you'll ever have an event as bad as that. Just so dodgy and questionable. That will always be the worst major ever. Then Rio can fuck right off as well. Stick that down in D tier. The Gaules Major, just an absolute fucking joke of an event. Which way round is it? Is it the worst goes to the right? And then you know what? Also D tier. Just utter shit playoffs. Like, shit teams in the playoffs. Whole community gaslighting you that, like, fucking into the breach, or into the bin, as they later became known. We're going to be the new, like, fucking top teams. And, oh, God, just terrible. The send-off CSGO deserved, ultimately. It wasn't a production thing. That Blast were completely let down by the playoffs and the trophy. But that's that. Right, let's start chopping up the other ones. These are the tough ones. I don't mind putting Krakow in D tier. I don't think that's going to upset anyone. If I get dropped from the BGL tour, you know, people still had a soft spot for Krakow. It's borderline for me, but it suffered from the same problems the Paris Major did, in the sense that a lot of the good teams got knocked out, and then it was like not a very good playoffs and not a very good final. Unfortunately, that was something beyond PGL's control. But I do remember as well, because I was working for E-League at the time, I did have the opportunity to work this event, but I didn't go to it because I just wanted to chill. Didn't fancy a transatlantic flight to host a major. And I was just chilling at home. And like, I always thought it was kind of cool if I just, like, I was an E-League employee, so I didn't want to like work with other people's events and stuff. So I was like, you know, listen, I'll miss this one out. And I don't hate that I missed this one. It had a bunch of tech problems early in the days as well. So, you know, there we go. Now, Star Ladder C tier. Is it though? I want to say Star Ladder might be worse than Krakow. Right, actually, we'll shelve that. Shelve that for now. DreamHack Winter 2013, I'm just putting it C tier because it was the first. It wasn't very good. There was like a bunch of teams that were like not the best. I mean, you know, that was like a weird playoff as well. That was with the old Complexity lineup with Big Longhead, Semphis and stuff. So it's like, it was one of those. Remember, everybody thought Nip were going to win it, and then Devil Walks Fnatic won it, and it was kind of like, I was watching that from the sidelines. Broadcast was a little bit ropey. I don't think anybody kind of knew what the majors were going to be or how big and prestigious they were going to be. So we tried to dream hack it, and it's like, looking back, it's like, yeah. So whatever. I don't mind putting that C tier. That can go B tier. 2019 Katowice, that's the Ents final. And that's when we were in the fucking Krieg and Org meta, and the games were kind of ass. Not their fault. I remember it being a pretty decent run event and everything. So there was that. Antwerp is definitely A tier. Insane playoffs. Really, really good. I'm going to put Stockholm A tier as well. Had a ton of problems, but it came together for the playoffs. Sick final. Would have been perfect if it wasn't for that proposal at the end. Totally fuck with that. And I thought, yeah, the aesthetic of the Stockholm Major was really, really good. It was great. People were just fried from... like, looking back now, I realize everyone was acting retarded because we'd just come out of the pandemic. And it was like people were just coming back to like interacting with people in person again. And I think a lot of us probably went mental when we didn't need to go mental. And yeah, that was the one that gave us all Richie Pink Lips for the Discord. So that's fair. Katowice 2014 A tier, right? That's the Virtus Pro Virtus Plow win. That was fucking sick. Crowd was sick. Storyline was sick. Yeah, they beat Nip, so that's always fucking a great story as well. I'm going to move Krakow up to C. It's the worst in C tier. What's this one here? I can't even fucking see it. ESL 1. What year is that? Is that... No, we've got Cologne. Well, we should have Cologne. I meant to put Cologne 2015 up there. That's... Is this the 2016 one? Fuck me. 2016. What happened there? Oh, shit. Yeah, that was fucking SK. Yeah, that was the back-to-back for the Brazilians. That was a good one too, actually. Yeah, Cologne always delivers. Denmark. A tier. Really good story with the Na'Vi run, but we were denied a great final. Obviously, some problems beyond PGL's control with all the madness, with the fucking power outage, the Hooksies fucking charmed life, and the stage invasion. Style out of Berlin, it's into the D tier. Shanghai in A. Austin. A? Yeah. Dream at Winter in B. Which one was that? Yeah, that's the LDLC. Oh, I mean, that's... Yeah, we'll put that in B. It's epic, though. It's so memorable. If it was for drama, it would be S tier. And then, right, where does Budapest fit in? It's like one of these. It's like the production and everything was all of the problems, but then the playoffs was sick. It's at the very tail end of B. Saved by the playoffs, basically. Think that's fair, right? Yeah. So that's where I'm putting it. That's my new ranking. You can go and compare it to the old ranking that other guy just got banned for pointing out that I did. As if these things can't change over time. And don't just reflect my opinions in a given moment anyway. But, yeah, I think Starladder definitely improved on the Berlin event. Not that you would realise it based on what they were saying. We started the year with this interview over at esportscharts.com. Hard work paid off. Starladder on future plans, broadcasting realities and the sponsorship boundaries of esports. And the reason I wanted to end the Starladder segment kind of on this is that it really kind of shows where their heads are at overall. So here we go. The major was Starladder's second Counter-Strike event in Budapest this year. Why does this location work well for you? And he says, Budapest is a very convenient transport hub for hosting major esports events. It's well connected within Europe. It's got good routes to the Americas and Asia as well. From a logistics standpoint, it's a very natural choice. We found a good local partner who supported us a lot. They did it during the Star Series Season 19 finals as well. Their expertise made a difference. Because of that, I genuinely believe Budapest has the potential to become a long-term hub, not just for our events, but for other tournament organizers too. And honestly, the arena, the MVM, deserves to host more major esports events, whether it's in CS2 or other titles. Now, you can decide whether that reflects the reality based on everything that we read right at the start, but it's entirely up to you. Then it says here, how do you see Starladder's role in the future ecosystem of S-tier events? You are aiming to become a regular organizer again, or are you focusing on a smaller number of carefully selected tier 1 events? And he says, given the current Tier 1 and Tier S CS events application system, it would be very naive to build our entire strategy around hosting majors alone. That's why the focus is on a small number of carefully selected Tier 1 competitions. Starladder has already announced its flagship Star Series event for 26 and 27, while planning a more consistent schedule of Tier 2 tournaments alongside it. That balance reflects the current demand in the ecosystem and represents a sustainable, viable business opportunity for us. Now, we've seen already some of these kind of events that they're proposing. They don't look like they're going to really stack up against some of the other events that are going to be on the calendar. And the problem you've always got now is if you want teams to come to your event, You got to pay the teams to come to your event. If you don't pay the teams, they don't come. If they don't come, you don't get viewership. If you don't get viewership, you can't meet sponsor deliverables. If you don't meet sponsor deliverables, sponsors don't come back. The orgs know exactly what they're doing when they do this. They think it's justified. I think this is the type of thing that's going to kill the ecosystem, because God forbid ESL goes under or gets sold by the Saudis to someone that can't prop up their business model. And then what are we left with in Counter-Strike? We're left with hard fucking times. So anyway, all short-sighted, but I won't relitigate that. And then it said, without disclosing specific numbers, can you say whether hosting this major was financially successful for StarLadder? And he said, we're still in the post-mortem phase. It's still hard to point to anything very specific. What I can say is, given the challenges and limitations StarLadder had to work with, it definitely wasn't an easy ride for anyone in the company. But overall, I believe all the hard work and sleepless nights have paid off. That sounds to me like no. It has not been profitable. We barely made the event by the skin of our fucking teeth. That's what that sounds like. What can you share about the platform mix? You know, the Twitch, YouTube, and Kick stuff. It says, even though each Counter-Strike major is a first-party event, it still operates under Valve's tournament operating requirements. So ensuring maximum accessibility for viewers is mandatory. That's why choosing all the most popular broadcast platforms, Twitch, YouTube, and Kick, was a very straightforward decision. What's important to clarify is none of these platforms were affiliated with StarLadder or sponsored the Budapest Major in any way. Some of them did assist us with certain operational matters and general coordination, but for us, they all were simply distribution channels. Comes up as well with Twitch had tightened the restrictions around certain sponsors. We talked about that. He says, it played a significant role because those limitations made it more challenging for us to select and work with a global betting partner. Twitch, in particular, maintains a puzzling set of brand restrictions. Certain casino and betting operators are banned, while others with virtually identical business models and websites remain permitted. I won't speculate on the logic behind those rules, but of course, as a platform, Twitch has the right to set its own policies, and we respect and comply with them. It talks about its monetization model. Says here, one of the key learnings from the Budapest Major was you can't rely on sustainable content monetization if you're multi-streaming or don't have direct platform-inclusive sponsorships. Overall, monetization across Twitch, YouTube, and Kick was extremely low, even despite us producing more than 135 hours of premium arena-level S-tier content and generating over 50 million hours watched on our own English-language streams. The most frustrating part was Twitch's performance. Not only was it underwhelming, it was significantly below any realistic expectations. Its share of total monetization across 16 play days accounted for as low as just 25%. That was roughly the same amount we generated on YouTube, but YouTube achieved that in only the final four playoff days, since monetization there wasn't enabled during stages 1 to 3. Kick performed reasonably well, accounting for around 50% of total monetization. However, as a platform for content monetization, Kick becomes impactful only if the tournament is streamed exclusively on their platform. Otherwise, the penalties applied to multi-streaming are simply too harsh. In short, disappointed with Twitch, positively surprised by YouTube, and overall aligned with expectations from Kick. So it ties in with everything we've been saying. Twitch is essentially a dying platform. It's swirling down the pan. And if you want to have, if part of your business model is you're relying on Twitch to put up the monetized deliverables for the hours that you broadcast on there, you're shit out of luck. Twitch is increasingly becoming a legacy platform, essentially. The future is not there. And so it's going to be interesting to see what happens in 2026 and beyond with Twitch overall and whether or not some of these rules might change. I could definitely see us going into maybe another exclusivity deal with Kick for another tournament. And I'm not talking about ones like Fissure that just pissed all the money up against the wall and disappeared. I'm talking about something a bit more serious, a bit further up the trough. Because ultimately, broadcast revenue has to be part of the business model of sports. And just because the Overwatch League fucked it for everyone, and Twitch in particular paying 90 million fucked it for everyone, doesn't mean it should just be gone forever. We got to like find a way to make it work. Then the co-stream stuff. So this is what I mean about this guy living in the past and not really understanding the landscape that you're in the modern era of esports. Instead of limiting community co-streams to protect official sponsors, do you see a future where co-streaming rights themselves are monetized, allowing creators to keep their own partners while creating a new revenue stream for the organizer? And he said, I think it's important to understand co-streaming isn't something that's automatically granted or something that can simply be demanded aggressively. Tournament organisers invest millions of dollars into producing premium broadcast content. We also sell media rights to regional licensees who rely on the ability to monetize those broadcasts locally. In that context, access to co-streaming is a privilege, not an obligation. From our side, we made co-streaming available to the majority of English language creators as long as they fully complied with our rules. The fucking, as we know, we had the fucking, the Star Ladder commandments, particularly around delivering all sponsorship inventory on platforms where it's allowed. At the same time, we didn't restrict creators from earning platform-based monetization on their own streams. They kept that revenue in full for themselves. We believe that's a fair balance. It protects the value of the very costly high-quality content, ensures strong KPIs for event sponsors who actually fund the event production, and still gives creators access to premium, highly watchable content at no cost at all, while allowing them to benefit from what they do and well monetize their streams via platform tools. And it's like, look, unfortunately, whether you like it or not, co-streaming is a very real thing that you have to factor into your business model now. And what they did by essentially not giving it to some people, saying to others you can have it but you have to do it on Kick, trying to implement rules that are so unenforceable. I maintain it all the time. They are saying to you, you stream GoTV, but you have to listen to our rules. There's no way. There's just no way. Ultimately, people comply because they just don't want the hassle. But if I wanted to advertise something while I was streaming GoTV, I don't see how StarLadder can stop me doing that. I haven't entered into any agreement with them. If Valve want to stop me doing that, they can and would and will. But StarLadder have just got nothing to do with it. So it's completely fucking absurd to see that this guy is still, you know, StarLadder is still living in the past where it comes to co-streaming. And by all accounts, to everyone I talked to, really unpleasant and difficult to work with when it came to getting the co-streaming rights. So overall, you know, I've given them my grade for the event. It's essentially a B-, but saved by the playoffs. And sometimes it do be like that, Mr. Stancil. You do get the playoffs and the games that elevate your tournament to being, you know, at a level that the production can't live up to. So that's that. That is the extended StarLadder Budapest Major review. The games, the production, the community, and the tier list.